and the first show of our seventh season of performing new old-time radio to a studio audience and to listeners on WGTD and streamed worldwide on the internet. Our stars are from the award-winning 91.1 Players, and as always, our programs are written and produced by Steve Brown and Michael Ullstrom. Today's director is Don Jensen. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumais, Aaliyah, and McTernan, a full-service law firm with an emphasis on personal injury, civil litigation, and business law. Also supporting the WGTD Radio Theater is the Agape Chiropractic Center, located in Lake Villa, Illinois. Their goal is fixing the cause and not just the pain at the Agape Chiropractic Center. And now, we take you into the future to visit the Jetsons.
Oh, Judy, you look so pretty in that dress. You'll be the belle of the ball in that.
Oh, Mother, I know! It's just dreamy. The others just don't do me justice. I mean, I want to be the prettiest girl at the dance. Do you think Tommy will like it?
Oh, he'd be a fool or blind if he didn't. You're just so lovely in
it. Oh, but do you think Dad will be okay with it? I mean, it is sort of expensive. I mean, if there were some of those other dresses I could settle for if I had to.
You just leave your father to me. And besides, he wants you to be the prettiest one at the dance, too. I just have to think of something to distract him when he gets the credit card bill.
Oh, thanks, Mom. You're the best.
Now we better shut down the Bloomingdale's automatic shopper computer before your dad comes home. You know how he gets when he's out of work.
Mom, I'm home.
Master Elroy, good afternoon. Did you have a good day at school? Let me take your coat. Let me take your book bag. Here are your cookies and milk. Please sit at the kitchen table and have your after-school snack. Do you have any homework?
Oh, yes, Rosie. I had a good day, and thanks for the snack. Say, is Dad home yet?
No, Master Elroy. Mr. Jetson is not home yet. He has been working late. Do you have any homework?
Yes, I have homework, and I'll always have homework because of that dumb computer I have. It is so slow. I can't get anything done with that thing. I have to design this mathematical model to predict weather patterns on the Alpha Centauri for my astrophysics class, and I need a faster computer than the one I got. Mine only has 1,000,000 gigabytes of memory. That's like living in the 21st century with such a pile of junk.
No, Master Elroy. Don't talk about computers like that. Just because it is old or slow doesn't mean it isn't trying. It has feelings, too. I'm not the newest model either, you know.
Oh, Rosie, I'm sorry. You know I would never want to see you go. And besides, no matter how much newer a robot housekeeper would be, I could never be as good as you.
Why, thank you, Master Elroy. This family just means the world to me.
Elroy, was that you?
Yes, Mother.
Hi, dear. How was your day?
Oh, okay. Mom, do you think I can get a new computer? It takes me forever to do my astrophysics problems. I mean, everyone else in my class has a new one.
But we just bought you a new one last semester.
I know, Mom. It just doesn't keep up with any more of my assignments in astrophysics. I'll always get stuck having to take homework home because if I can't get my work done at school.
I don't know, dear, but we'll see what we can do. Let me work on your father. In the meantime, remember, homework never hurt anyone. More to distract George from.
Jane, I'm home.
Oh, hi, honey. I'm in the kitchen with Elroy.
Roger's home.
Down, boy. Get down. I love you too, boy.
How was your day?
Oh, not so good, boy. Not so good at all. Where are you, honey?
Ooh, do you have a treat for me?
Oh, sure, boy. Here's a treat.
Rank rope.
Good evening, sir. Let me take your coat. Let me take your briefcase. Here are your slippers. Here is your evening paper. Would you like a martini?
Thanks, Rosie. Sure. Honey?
Right here in the kitchen, dear.
Oh, there you are.
Mwah. How was your day?
Not so good. Things aren't so good at the office.
Oh?
Say, Elroy, buddy, why don't you finish up your snack in your room?
Mr. J., I really don't like when the children eat in their rooms.
Oh, Rosie, how about letting them do it this once, okay?
Well, okay. Elroy, take your milk and cookies to your bedroom. I'll come in and vacuum up afterwards. I do not like crumbs in the carpet.
Oh, boy. Is it okay if I watch a little television while I have my snack? I want to catch those cartoons from Neptune.
Yes, Master Elroy. You can watch a little television in your room until dinner. But then... you have to get to that homework.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
Thanks, Rosie. I just wanted to talk to Mrs. Jetson without the kids in the room.
I understand, sir. I will be vacuum in Elroy's room.
George, what's wrong?
Cogswell Cogs filed for Chapter 13 today. That company from Mars is taking away everyone's business by taking advantage of Martian cheap labor. It's either that or they outsource everything to Pluto. I mean, really, Pluto. It isn't even a planet anymore.
But your company is okay, isn't it?
Well, so far. There are some big projects that the government wants to fund, which is great. But they have to be laser ready.
Oh, don't worry, dear. Everything will work out fine.
I wish I could be so sure, honey. Mr. Spacely told us there could be layoffs and that we have to work overtime for a while.
Oh, my. How much overtime?
It looks like I'll have to work 4 or 5 hours a day. I mean, I'm just not used to that. I'm shot after 3 hours a day at that sweatshop. I don't know what I'll be like after a 4 or 5 hour day. And on top of that, I may have to go to work on Thursdays, too.
Thursdays? Now that's ridiculous. Working Monday through Wednesday is bad enough. But now Thursdays?
But what can I do? If I say no, they'll just find someone else who will do it. I mean, it's tough times out there.
I know. It's just so hard to know what's all happening. But let's have some dinner. You just relax in the living room. Maybe catch up on the news. Have a martini. And I'll help Rosie program the kitchen computer to make us a wonderful dinner. Now, how does that sound?
Yeah, maybe you're right, Jane. I'll just relax a bit.
You do that, dear. I'll give you a holler when dinner is ready.
So, Astro, how was your day? Find any bones?
Bro, not today. I did reach a squirrel up a tree. So, George, how bad are things at work?
Hard to say, boy. The economy is bad. No one is buying anything. The flying saucer business is on the skids. Lots of people out of work. The boss wants us to work all the time. I mean, come on. Having us work 4 or 5 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. It's becoming a sweatshop there.
Well, when are you going to pray with me?
I don't know, boy. Hard to know when you and I can go out and throw the ball around. We'll all have to tighten our belts these days. Do more with less.
Oh, less? Will you still feed me this rain?
Oh, don't worry about that, Astro. Everyone will get plenty to eat. You may have to get a few less dog biscuits, though. You've been putting on a few pounds, anyway. A few less snacks wouldn't do you any harm.
Less biscuits? Ruh-oh. Are you sure?
Don't worry, Astro. You'll be okay.
Okay, George. Dinner's ready. Get the kids and let's sit down and have a nice family dinner.
Okay, honey. I'll be right there. At least I hope everything will be okay.
Kids, are you ready? The bus will be here any minute to take you to school.
The bus? I thought Daddy was going to take us to school.
Your father's already at work, Judy.
Well, why can't you drive us?
Because if I want to get an early start looking for a job. If your father loses his job, we'll need some extra money around
but
here.
But Mother, I just can't take the bus. I mean, only the dweeby kids take the bus.
Well, that's too bad. We all have to sacrifice around here, and your sacrifice is to take the bus. And don't go calling your classmates dweeby.
Yes, Mother. But do I have to sit with my baby brother?
Elroy, where are you? Are you ready? And Judy, just sit where you want. Just make sure you're on that bus. Elroy?
I'm here already. Do we really have to take the bus?
Yes, now on your way.
Here are your lunches. I had the kitchen computer pack some extra special treats in them today for you.
Thanks, Rosie. You're the best. See you later, Mom.
Thanks, honey. See you after school.
And, Mom, what about that new computer? Can I still get that?
Yeah, Mother. And can I still get that dress?
We'll see. Now get on that bus.
Yeah, Mom. See you later.
Okay. Have a good day. Now, Rosie, I need to figure where to get a job.
I can help you, Mrs. Jetson. I can program the home office computer to look through all the listings in the area for what you are looking for.
Oh, Rosie, you don't have to do that. I can figure it out on my own.
Oh, I know you can't, Mrs. Jetson. It's just that I'm worried that if Mr. J loses his job, I'll have to find a new home to work in. And who will want an old rundown model like me?
Oh, Rosie, don't you worry about anything like that. We would never let you go. You're part of the family.
But I know the oil and that I use is expensive, and it's getting rather harder and harder to find the upgrades and fixes to my software. And they keep costing more and more. I mean, all I have are these old-fashioned USB ports to connect with the other computers in the house. I'm just such a burden to this family, Mrs. J. I'm just old and worn out. You can get a brand new housekeeper, and it could do more and cost you less.
Now, Rosie, I'll hear no more of this. You are a member of this family. You are going nowhere. Now, you just get going on the housework. With me looking for a job, I'll need you more than ever.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. J. I just want to help where I can.
And Rosie, you do. You are such a big help in keeping the kids in the house in tip-top shape. Now I better start looking.
Focogs, well, you're finally out of business. Serves you right. You're always trying to steal my ideas.
How on earth can I steal ideas from you, Spacely? You've never had anything worth stealing.
Well, we'll see, Cogswell. You've been a pain in my neck for years, and you got what was coming to you. You're broke, and I'm not.
You listen to me, Spacely. I may be down, but I'm not out. You just wait until you have to get your bid in for that new spaceport project. You don't have a chance.
That's what you think, Cogswell. I got this far in spite of your low-down shenanigans, and I'll win that contract.
Not if I have anything to do with it, Spacely. I'll make sure you lose that bid if it's the last thing I do.
Too late, Cogswell. The last thing you did was go broke.
Yeah? Spacely, just don't walk down any dark alleys, because I'll be there.
Ooh, I'm scared. Oh, that idiot Cogswell, I finally got him good. Of course, I gotta get that spaceport contract, or I'll be in unemployment with him. What to do, what to do? I know. I'll go yell at Jetson. He's always good for me to blow off steam at. Jetson! What on earth are you up to? I told you I wanted that program done an hour ago.
I know, Mr. Spacely. I know. It was just more complicated than
do
I expected.
Do you know how important this hyperspace radio contract is? Mm. If I lose that contract, it'll be your fault. Let me put it this way. If I lose this contract, you lose your job. Though I don't want to hear excuses, Jetson. You'll just have to work late until you get it done, or you're fired.
Yes, Mr. Spacely. You'll have it before I go home. Oh, man. I'd better figure this out. At this rate, I'll be here all night.
See, Judy, it isn't so bad taking the bus.
No, I guess it isn't.
You're even sitting next to me.
Well, it's not because I want to. There were no other seats by the time I got on.
How bad do you think things will get with Dad? What if he loses his job?
Oh, I don't know. I would hate to think that I couldn't get that dress I want for the big cosmic cotillion coming up. I mean, I couldn't wear what I wore last year. Oh, you boys have it so easy. You just show up wearing whatever you want, and you don't think twice about it.
Ugh, I can't stand girls. You'll never catch me going to those silly dances when I get to high school.
Oh, whatever. By the time you get to high school, I will be in college, and I'll not have to deal with you.
Thank goodness. I just hope I can get that new computer. That's way more important than any stupid old dress you only wear once.
A new computer? You just got one a few months ago. It's been a whole year since I got a new party dress. And who cares about astrophysics anyway? You always need fancy computers to do anything. Me, I'll stick to biology.
Yeah, right. You like biology until you have to dissect a Venusian frog. Then you'll get all squeamish.
Hey, I'm doing better at that. And those things are as big as pigs. Just you wait until you get to high school. Believe it or not, you will be at those dances, and you will want your girlfriend wearing all sorts of fancy clothes.
Never.
Oh, our stop is coming up. And just behave yourself at home. Mom and Dad don't need any more stress.
Yeah, well, you remember that too. No more new dresses.
Oh, brother.
Mom, we're home.
Mother!
I'm here. How were your days? Survived the bus ride, Judy?
Yes, Mother.
She even sat next to me.
Oh, well, wonders never cease. Well, guess what, kids? Your mom got a job.
Already? That was fast.
Yeah, Mother, that was fast. What are you going to do?
Well, I hunted around on the computer to see what was out there. Not a lot to choose from, but then I saw a job at Neiman Marcus, where you help people shop. I applied for the job, and a few hours later they called back, talked to me, and said I had the job. After talking about all the shopping I do with my teenage daughter, they said I was well qualified.
Oh, that's great, Mom. Do you get a discount?
Yes, Judy, I get a discount.
Figures. She gets a discount for all her stupid clothes, and I get nothing.
Now, Elroy, that's not true. The money I save on Judy's clothes will help me to spend on your computers.
Oh, I get it. Woohoo!
And more treats for me?
Yes, Astro, more treats for you. Now let's just hope things work out for your father.
Honey, I'm home.
Roger's home. Roger's home. Roger's home.
Down, boy. Get down. I love you too, boy.
We're in the kitchen, dear.
Hi, Jane. How's the best wife in the whole world?
Well, she's just fine, George.
Good evening, sir. Let me take your coat. Let me take your briefcase. Here are your slippers. Here is your evening paper. Would you like a martini?
Oh, thanks, Rosie. Sure.
I'm surprised to see you home so early, George. Everything okay?
Better than okay, Jane. I got my work done for Mr. Spacely, and he was so happy for the answers I gave him, he let me go home early.
That doesn't quite sound like him.
I know, but I thought I'd get out of there before he changed his mind.
Well, I think this calls for a special dinner. I got a job, George got home early, and Judy and Elroy sat together on the school bus.
You got a job?
Oh, of course. I'll tell you about it after dinner.
Mrs. Jetson, what should I program for dinner?
Oh, I don't know. Surprise us. You know us better than anyone else, Rosie.
How about a dinner of drug treats?
That's our Astro. Always thinking about his stomach.
And now, from the distant future to the distant past, it's the Flintstones.
Oh, let's put Pebbles and Bam Bam in the living room so we can sit in the kitchen, Betty. I'll get the coffee brewing.
Bam, 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 bam.
Thanks, Wilma. Can you believe some of those preschools we saw? I'm just glad you were with me. I think I would have given up if I were on my own.
Oh, I know what you mean. All we're looking for is a preschool to take Pebbles and Bam Bam to learn a few things before they get to kindergarten. And my goodness, did I get a surprise.
Stunned is more the word. They want to test our kids to make sure they will fit in satisfactorily, to make sure they are on the proper track for future careers, and taking into account their scholastic and emotional aptitudes? Please! When are they supposed to learn how to play duck, duck, goose?
And could you believe those prices? My mortgage payment isn't that high.
Tell me about it. Well, we'll just have to keep looking. There have got to be more reasonable preschools out there.
I should hope so. Say, would you like more coffee?
Let me pour.
Oh, let me take a peek at the kids.
Bam, 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 bam.
Say, Fred and I actually went to see a movie the other night.
How on earth did you get Fred to go out to a movie?
I promised he could have a supersized popcorn with double butter.
What? Doesn't it usually take triple butter?
Yeah, usually. But he's watching his weight.
What did you see?
True gravel. I figured Fred would at least like a Western.
Did he like it? Was it as good as the original with John Wayne?
Oh, I sure thought it was. Of course, I like a good Western. Western. I can't speak for Fred, though. He never got his head out of the popcorn bucket.
Oh, I like some of those new movies, but I still like the old ones, like Casa Rocca and Granite with the Wind. No one can make me melt like Clark Gable.
Not even Barney?
Ha, ha, ha. Fiddle-dee-dee, I think about that tomorrow.
Oh, sounds like Fred is home.
Well, that means Barney is home, too. I better get dinner on the table. Barney gets so ornery when dinner is late. Come on, Bam Bam. Time to go home.
Bam, 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 bam.
I hear you. See you tomorrow. Back to our search for preschools.
See you bright and early. Hi, Fred. Just on my way out. Wilma's in the kitchen.
Hi, Betty. See you later. Wilma! I'm home.
Hey!
Down, boy, down.
Hiya, Fred. And here's your little girl.
Oh, how's my little, little girl? How is she? How is she?
Well, how was work?
Not so good. Mr. Slate told us that layoffs could be coming.
Really? What happened?
Well, times are tough. People aren't building homes, so they don't need the granite slabs and boulders that we dig.
I know. I shouldn't be surprised. I listen to rock news all the time, and it seems like it'll never get better.
Now, Mr. Slate said he's going to put in a bid for that high-speed dinosaur project, so that might help out. There are some other chisel-ready projects we might get, too.
When did he say he would know something?
Actually, it's already started. Barney was told today that he's going on a month-long furlough. Can you believe that? No pay for a month?
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. And we were just out looking for preschools for the kids today.
Yeah, we may want to hold off on anything like that until things get back to normal.
No, it's been so long, I don't even know what normal is anymore.
So, what's for dinner?
That's my Fred. No matter how bad things may be, he has to eat.
Hey! I've been working hard all day.
I know. I'm just kidding. I had a pterodactyl roast in the slow cooker all day. It'll be ready in about 30 minutes. I just want to give Betty a call. Make sure everything is okay over there.
Okay. I'll take Dino for a walk outside until dinner time. Dino, get your leash. Let's go for a walk. Okay, let's go.
What what are we going to do, Barney, with no paycheck for a month?
I'm not sure, Betty. We have some savings, and I think we could pick up some odd jobs to help make ends meet.
But Wilma and I were just looking for preschools for Pebbles and Bam Bam. Little Bam Bam won't be able to go now.
Bam, 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 bam.
Let's just see how things go. Maybe we can figure something out.
Well, I'm going to start looking for a job myself. They always seem to be hiring at Rock Mart.
Say, maybe I'll apply there, too. I could hand out carts.
I can see you doing that. Besides, I think you need to be a little older. Hello?
Betty, Fred just told me. You okay?
Oh, Wilma, it's you. I'm so glad you called.
Oh, great. She's talking to Wilma. Now I'll never eat. Come on, Bam Bam. Let's play with your while your mother's off the phone.
It was a shock, but I'm okay. You just don't expect this to happen to yourself, you know.
I know. Are you guys going to be okay?
Oh, we'll figure it out. Barney is going to look for some odd jobs for the month, and I'm going to look for a job. Let's face it, if I want to send Bam Bam to preschool, I was going to have to get some kind of work anyway.
Well, you're right about that. I was thinking the same thing. You know, maybe we should figure something out together. Everyone is going into some kind of business these days. Maybe we should, too.
I'm game. Listen, I've got to get dinner on the table for Barney. He starts to eye the cat and lick his lips. Let's talk tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
Bye. Say, Barney, guess what? Wilma and I might go into business together.
Well, Betty, that sounds great. But what are you two women gonna do?
Are you saying that we can't make a go of this because we're women?
No, it's not that, Betty. It's just that you really aren't cut out for that.
Not cut out for it? You man. You listen to me, Fred Flintstone. Betty and I are going to go in business. We're going to be huge successes and show you that you aren't as smart as you two think you are.
Now, Wilma, I didn't mean anything by that.
Oh? You only mean that we aren't smart enough to figure out a business? Tell you what, Fred, I don't think I'm smart enough to get the roast out of the slow cooker either. You feed yourself. I'll be in my room, and the couch is quite comfortable for you to sleep on tonight, Fred Flintstone.
Oh, brother, how do I get myself into these things? So, Barney, how are things going?
Okay, Fred. It's good to get out of the house for a night, though. I'm starting to go stir-crazy in there. Betty is always out with Wilma talking about this business that they want to set up, you know, and there's nothing on TV except stone operas.
Well, that's the good thing about belonging to the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes. Get you out with other guys, where things are normal.
What do you think of the wives going into business?
I'm just fine with it. I got my head chewed off once for saying something about it, and I won't make that mistake again.
Me too, brother Water Buffalo. Oh. Hey, it looks like the meeting is going to start.
Mr. Slate, let me get down off this diner crane. What can I do for you, Mr. Slate?
Listen, Flintstone, I need you to work some overtime. You and every other knucklehead are running behind in this latest fit, and you and everyone else will have to work extra to get it done. I don't care how long it takes.
Yes, sir, Mr. Slate. Whatever you say. How long will you want me for?
I figure you'll have to work 12 hours a day right through Sunday to get this done.
12 hours a day through Sunday?
Yeah, I'd say so. You have a problem with that, Flintstone? I know I can find a whole bunch of other men Be happy to work those hours.
Oh, no, Mr. Slate. I can work those hours, no problem. You can count on me.
That's just what I wanted to hear, Flintstone. Now,
get this work done! 12 hours a day? Right through Sunday? Oh, man, there goes the plans for the weekend. I'm getting too old for this kind of thing. Well, back at it.
Yoo-hoo! Betty, are you home?
Yeah, Wilma. Come on in. Let's sit at the kitchen table so we can map out our business plan. We can put the kids in the living room.
Bam, 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 bam.
Okay, you two. You just play nicely together while your mommies get to work. Okay, Betty, I'm ready. When do we get paid?
If only. Barney sure was a louse last night about all this trying to start our own business. I gave him a piece of my mind.
Well, Fred was the same way. He made his own dinner last night for that.
Oh, Wilma, you are the tyrant.
You bet. You have to keep those guys in line.
But what would we do without them?
I know.
Have you thought about a business we could try?
Well, I sort of brainstormed a list. Here are some of the ideas that I came up with. Now, don't laugh too hard.
Say, these aren't too bad. Cupcakes? You know, those things have become so popular. And I don't know why. I mean, it's just cake with a lot of frosting.
Well, that's the point, healthy schmelzy. Give me the frosting. Besides, I don't have to understand it. I just want to sell them.
I hear you, sister. Now, this may sound crazy, but I got to thinking last night. You know all the problems we had in looking for a preschool? Mm-hmm. Well, if we opened our own preschool, there are all those empty storefronts in that strip mall around the corner. Mm-hmm. I bet we could rent one for a few pebbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't promise anything other than having a place for parents to bring their children to learn how to play some games, play with each other, you know, just some basic stuff.
Yeah.
And find someone with experience with children. I know the Rockway Technical College graduates students with some sort of degree in this kind of thing.
Betty, I like what I'm hearing.
It would be close to home. We would do it during the day when the guys are at work, and it ends our hunt for a decent preschool.
And we know lots of moms who are in the same boat we are. Gee, I like this.
I know. It makes a lot of sense. But just one problem.
Hmm?
We have no startup money.
Oh, yeah. That.
It's always something, isn't it? Maybe we need to do some more research about this. What else is on the list? Housekeeping? True enough. A lot of people are out looking for work like us. Maybe they need some help with taking care of things at home. We could team up, go through a lot of homes fast. Heck, if we can keep our houses clean with living with those two guys, we can clean anyone's house.
Well, that's for sure. By the way, how is it going with Barney at home all day long?
He does get in the way when he's not out looking for some work. This furlough is nuts. Who wants to hire anyone just for a few weeks? Barney is out looking for work every day, and there is just nothing.
Are you guys going to be okay?
Oh, we'll get by. We always do.
Well, Fred and I are always here for you. You just remember that. We've always helped each other all these years, and we'll just go on helping each other out.
Thanks, Wilma. You're the best friend a girl can have.
Hey, Betty, you in there?
Yeah, Barney. What's wrong?
Hi, Barney. Come on in.
Hi, Wilma. Betty, why does something have to be wrong when I go looking for you?
Because I've known you too long, Barney Rubble.
Well, I'll have you know that I found some work.
Oh, Barney, that's great. What is it?
A local landscaping company needs people to cut grass, trim bushes, stuff like that. They don't care I can only do it for a few weeks. They're always needing people, and I get to work outside and ride around on a lawnmower. You know I love doing that.
Yes, Barney. I know how you like to sit.
Be that as it may, I start tomorrow.
That's great. Oh, honey, I'm so proud of you.
Mwah! Oh, that is so wonderful. That can't be Fred already. It's way too early.
Wilma! I'm home!
Fred! What's wrong?
Why does something have to be wrong?
Well, one day you're working overtime, and the next day you're home before lunch.
Well, I'll have you know that I've been promoted to lead worker. I did such a good job catching up on the work we had, Mr. Slate promoted me. He gave me the rest of the day off with pay.
Oh, that's great, Fred. I'm so proud of you.
The only hitch is my first project is across town, so I have a longer commute, but I'm not complaining.
Oh, my word, no. You take the job and run.
That's great news, Fred.
Ah, but I'm not done, buddy. The boss asked me who should replace me, and I said, only the best worker that there is. My best friend, Barney Rubble. You go back tomorrow.
Oh, Barney, that's just so nice of you, Fred. See, Barney, everything will work out.
And with you girls starting your own business, we're set. Yabba-dabba-doo!
Before we hear about our cast today, along with our underwriters and our next WGTD Radio Theater, here's Dr. Steve Brown, our executive producer, with a special comment.
And thanks a lot, Donald. A little more than 2 weeks ago, on January 11th, we sadly lost to colon cancer David Nelson, who was the last remaining star of the radio and television series Ozzie and Harriet. David, who was 74 years old, played himself on the beloved radio and TV series. And who could forget the opening to that show?
Eastman Kodak Company is happy to bring you America's favorite family, the Nelsons. Ozzie, Harriet, David, and Ricky. They enjoy happy times together. And like most of us, they know that good times are picture times. And now, here's Harriet with a special idea for this weekend.
And the Nelson family, which used their real names and even filmed the show at their home in the Hollywood Hills in the L.A. area, was portrayed as a wholesome suburban family, with many of the episodes focusing on the domestic adventures of David and his younger brother, Ricky, who would later become a teenage singing idol. A few years ago, when Mike Ostrup and I wrote a new Ozzie and Harriet radio script for the WGTD Radio Theater, I had a chance to communicate with David, who gave me some advice on writing our show, and he was very, very kind in doing so. I chatted with David about one TV episode when he and Ricky were talking about David's 17th birthday on one of those TV episodes. Here's an audio clip from that birthday show.
What are you doing, David?
Oh, hello, little man. Just looking at my beard.
Looking at or looking for?
What do you mean? I have a pretty good size growth here.
You got a pretty good size imagination, too.
Well, it just so happens I was thinking about shaving again today.
Shaving again? You mean you've already shaved once today?
Well, not exactly today.
Then when exactly?
Oh, to be exact, a week ago last Tuesday.
What you're so worried about?
Well, when a guy gets to be older, he has to look out for those things. You seem to have forgotten it's my birthday today.
Hey, that's right. Happy birthday, my boy. I just happen to have a little present for you. Don't go away.
Well, I must admit this comes as quite a pleasant surprise.
And David, who grew up in front of America in the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, died on January 11, 2011, in Century City, California, of complications from colon cancer. He was 74. And finally, before I send this back to Don Jensen, here's David in a prophetic interview he did several years ago when he talked about how he felt when his younger brother Ricky passed away in a plane crash on New Year's Eve back in 1985.
You do, in fact, remember without that pain that you felt. And I think that it's the Lord's time that we're here on, and it's His clock. And when He decides it's up, it's up. And I think that if you learn one thing, it's you have to live every day to the fullest. You have to get the most out of life.
Just you and I, no true love waits.
Thank you, Steve, for that tribute to the Nelsons and to David Nelson. And that, ladies and gentlemen, ends our show for today. Before we leave, let's thank our underwriters. But before that even, our stars today, George Jetson was Bill Isley. Jane, his wife, played by Kathy Zulke. Their daughter, Judy Renee Thomas. Their boy, Elroy, Evan Zulke. And Astro, Gary Stamm. Rosie the Robot was played by Mary Isley. John Oleksii was Mr. Spacely. Terry Lawler played Spencer Cogswell. And the Flintstones, it was Fred Flintstone, Terry Lawler, Wilma, played by Vicki Dumais, also Pebbles, Barney Rubble, Gary Stamm, Betty Rubble, Kathy Zulke, Bam Bam, Evan Zulke, and Mr. Slate, John Oleksii. And I'm Don Jensen, today's director, your host and narrator. And working sound effects and special effects were Steve Brown, Terry Steele, Barb Tyler, and Bob Newman. And finally, this really great script was written by Steve Brown and Mike Ulstrom. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater provided by the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumais, Aaliyah, and McTernan, and the Agape Chiropractic Center in Lake Villa, Illinois. The WGTD Radio Theater is an exclusive production of WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
We're coming to you live from the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Margaret Jontwaite. This afternoon, Puccini's riveting music drama, Tosca, with one of today's leading dramatic sopranos, Sandra Rabinowski, taking on the title role. Starring opposite her are tenor Marcelo Alvarez as her lover, Cavaradossi, and baritone Falk Struckmann as the sadistic Baron Scarpia. Maestro Marco Armiliato conducts. During intermission, we'll hear from our diva and our maestro, and bring you a special roundtable discussion about expanding the Met's repertory. Stay with us.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network, sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Margaret Jontwaite, and commentator Ira Siff is with me. Tosca features three unforgettable central characters. The title role of Floria Tosca, who is an opera diva, represents a pinnacle for powerhouse sopranos. And Ira, everyone's been buzzing about Sandra Rabinowski.
Well, she's been so identified here at the Met with Verdi, it's fascinating to see and hear her take on this iconic Puccini heroine.
Marcelo Alvarez is reprising the role of the painter Cavaradossi, which he sang so passionately when the production premiered last season. And Falk Struckman plays the villain, the chief of police, Scarpia.
Well, I must say he's one of the most terrifying Scarpias I've seen in my 50 years of Tosca going.
The story is set in Rome, and the first act takes place in a church. A desperate-looking man slips in and hides in one of the chapels. This is Angelotti.